What are the steroids that made all this possible? One simple way to think about computing at any scale is that it is comprised of three things: computational capability, storage capability, and input-output capability. The speed by which information is drawn in and out of the computer/storage complexes. And all of these have been steadily increasing since the days of the first bulky mainframes. This mutually reinforcing progress constitutes a significant steroid. For instance, MIPS stands for millions of instructions per second, and it is one measure of the computational capability of a computer's microchips. In 1971, the Intel 4004 microprocessor produced 0.06 MIPS, or 60,000 instructions per second. Today's Intel Pentium 4 Extreme Edition has a theoretical maximum of 10.8 billion instructions per second. Meanwhile, inputting and outputting data have leaped ahead at a staggering rate. At the speeds that disk drives operated back in the early days of 286 and 386 chips, it would have taken about a minute to download a single photo from my latest digital camera. Today, I can do that in less than a second on a USB 2.0 disk drive and a Pentium processor. 5 years ago, no one would have believed that you would be able to sell iPods with 40 gigabytes of storage, capable of holding thousands of songs, for prices that teenagers could afford. Now it's seen as ho-hum. And when it comes to moving all these bits around, the computing world has been turbocharged. Advances in fiber optics will soon allow a single fiber to carry 1 terabit per second. With 48 fibers in a cable, that's 48 terabits per second. Then add another hardware steroid to the mix: file sharing. It started with Napster, paving the way for two of us to share songs stored on each other's computers. Free music that you could obtain nearly effortlessly from a gigantic database. That database was actually a file-sharing architecture by which Napster facilitated a connection between my computer and yours so that we could swap music files. The original Napster is dead, but file-sharing technology is still around and is getting more sophisticated every day, greatly enhancing collaboration. Finally, add one last hardware steroid that brings these technology breakthroughs together for consumers: the steady breakthrough in multi-purpose devices, ever smaller and more powerful laptops, cell phones, and handheld personal organizers that can keep your appointments, make calls, send email, take pictures, and even serve as video cameras. Collaborating with all this digitized data is going to be made even easier and cheaper thanks to another burgeoning steroid: Voice over Internet Protocol service, known as VOIP. VOIP allows you to make phone calls over the internet by turning voices into data packets that are sent down internet networks and converted back into voices on the other end. VOIP allows anyone who subscribes to the service through his phone company or private operator to receive unlimited local and long-distance phone calls via the internet over his personal computer, laptop, or PDA with just a small microphone attachment. It is personal, and it will be delivered virtually. The underlying pipes will make it happen without your having to think about it at all. It will make every business and personal phone call to anywhere in the world as cheap as a local call. That is, almost free. And if that won't amplify every form of collaboration, I don't know what will. There is another steroid related to VOIP which will turbocharge this turbocharger: the breakthrough improvements in video conferencing. HP and the film company DreamWorks SKG collaborated on the design of a video conferencing suite, with DreamWorks bringing its movie and sound expertise and HP contributing its computing and compression technology that is breathtaking. Each party to the video conference sits at a long table facing a wall of flat panel TV screens and cameras pointed at them. The flat panel screens display the people at the other site, which could be anywhere in the world. It creates an effect of everyone sitting around a single conference table and is apparently a qualitatively different experience from anything that has been on the market before. I had a chance to participate in a demonstration of it, and it was so realistic that you could practically feel the breath of the other parties to the video conference when, in fact, half of us were in Santa Barbara and half were 500 miles away. Because DreamWorks is doing film and animation work all over the world, it felt that it had to have a video conferencing solution where its creative people could really communicate all their thoughts, facial expressions, feelings, ire, enthusiasm, and raised eyebrows. HP's Chief Strategy and Technology Officer, Shane Robison, told me that HP plans to have these video conferencing suites for sale by 2005 at a cost of roughly $250,000 each. That is nothing compared to the airline tickets and wear and tear on executives having to travel regularly to London or Tokyo for face-to-face meetings. Companies could easily make one of these suites pay for itself in a year. This level of video conferencing, once it proliferates, will make remote development, outsourcing, and offshoring that much easier and more efficient.